O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like unto mine. Words taken from the Lamentations of the prophet of Jeremiah for the Mass of Our Lady of Sorrows. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary each year on September the 15th, as well as today, the Friday preceding Palm Sunday. While both feasts commemorate all seven sorrows of Our Lady, the feast day today commemorates in a very special way the swords of sorrow that pierced Our Lady's immaculate heart during the passion and death of her Son. And thus today we contemplate and we commemorate the meeting of Our Lady with her divine Son on his way to Calvary, the agony of Our Lady on Calvary as she witnessed the crucifixion and death of Christ, the piercing of the side of Christ and his taking down of his body from the cross, and finally his burial and the separation of 3 days before his resurrection. This evening, I would like to speak to you about the sixth sorrow of Our Lady, which is the piercing of the side of Christ, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori writes, and the taking down of the body of Christ from the cross. It was just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that first Good Friday that the Jews had asked Pilate that the body of Jesus and the two thieves be taken down from the cross. Normally, my dear friends, they left the bodies of the crucified on the cross until they finally expired, because in some cases, some could live 2 to 3, even 4 days hanging on the cross and suffering the most excruciating pains and torments. But the Jews wanted the bodies taken down from the cross that day before sundown, because the following day was the great Sabbath day. It was the Paschal Sabbath day. And the Paschal Sabbath day began at sundown the evening before. But the bodies of the crucified could not be removed from their crosses unless the crucified were already dead. As I said, sometimes they could live 2 to 3, maybe even 4 days hanging on the cross. And so it was that Pilate gave order that they were to be put to death. And thus the Roman soldiers came with iron bars and they broke the legs of the two thieves. But when they saw that Christ was already dead, instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. St. John is the only evangelist to record this. He says, "The soldier therefore came, and they broke the leg of the first and the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water." The fathers of the Church teach that this piercing of the side of the Savior was literally the sword foretold to the Blessed Virgin in the Temple of Jerusalem by Saint Simeon 40 days after his birth. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux says that the lance which opened the side of Christ first passed through the soul of the Blessed Virgin. Our Lady herself, in the private revelations of St. Bridget, which are approved by the Church, Our Lady revealed to St. Bridget that at that moment when the soldier pierced the side of Christ, she said when the spear was drawn out, she saw the point red with his blood. And then seeing the heart of my most dear son pierced, it seemed to me as if my own heart was pierced. And thus the sword of sorrow pierced her immaculate heart. St. Bridget was even revealed to St. Bridget that so great was the grief and sorrow of Mary at the foot of the cross that it was only by divine intervention that she herself did not die. St. John the Apostle, though, goes on to tell us that after our Lord's side was pierced, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus arrived at Calvary. They were both at first secret disciples of Christ for fear of the Jews. But moved by grace and pity, they came to assist a sorrowful mother. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that Our Lady entreated Joseph of Arimathea to go to Pilate and get his permission that she might take the body of her son and bury it. And why was this so? It was because our Lord is a condemned criminal of the Roman Empire. His body no longer belonged to her. It was the property of the Roman governor. And thus did she ask Joseph to go to Pilate and get his permission before the soldiers took the body down and threw it into a pit. Upon his arrival at the hall of Pilate, Pilate saw him. He laid before Pontius Pilate the request of a sorrowful mother. And Pilate, it is said, out of pity for Our Lady, gave the body of Christ to her. Joseph returned to Calvary, and the body of Jesus was taken down from the cross. Ancient tradition describes it in this fashion. Three ladders were placed against the cross. The disciples drew out first the nails from the hands and the feet. They were handed down and given to Our Lady to hold. As one supported the upper part of the body, two others supported his lower part. And slowly and reverently, they lowered it down from the cross. And as they did, this ancient tradition says Our Lady was standing beneath. Her arms were extended. And as they lowered the body of Christ, they lowered it directly into her arms. And then they assisted her as she sat down beside the cross and held his dead body in her arms. St. Alphonsus says she embraced him. She looked upon his face. She kissed his face over and over. She examined his mangled flesh. She herself, it is said, took the crown of thorns off his head. It is no wonder when the Church contemplates Our Lady sitting beneath the cross. She applies to her these words of the prophet Jeremiah, "All ye that pass by my way, attend and see, if there be any sorrow like mine. For what greater sorrow, my dear friends, can there be than the sorrow of a mother holding the dead body of her only son? And not just any son. A son who is the God-man. A son who is infinitely perfect. A son who is infinitely holy, who never did nor could commit the slightest sin or fault. One priest said of this, on the first Christmas night, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary gave him to us perfectly and without any blemish or wound. But on Good Friday, we returned him to her, covered with wounds and blood. I believe that if we had the privilege to be standing at Calvary on that first Good Friday, if we could approach at that moment as she is holding her dead son in her arms, and she knows that he died for our sins, and if we were to approach, and if we were to offer what anything we could do for her at that moment, anything we could do to ease her pain, to give her compassion, to comfort her, to console her in some way, I believe she would say this to us. She would say what she said at Fatima, "Stop offending my son. Stop sinning." She would tell us to avoid mortal sin and its occasions. And why? Because mortal sin is not just the breaking of a law and then paying a fine, doing a penance. Mortal sin is the putting to death of Christ the Savior. Mortal sin is the death of a God-man. Mortal sin is the greatest evil in this world. And how sad, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori once said, men commit mortal sin with no thought of the consequences. The consequences of what Christ suffered on Calvary for it, and the consequences for themselves in eternity. But I believe Our Lady would tell us that. Stop offending my son. Don't sin. Avoid mortal sin and its occasions. And secondly, I believe Our Lady would say this to us too. Do not complain. Do not be impatient. When you have your cross to carry, you have your sufferings of your body, your sicknesses, your difficulties, your inconveniences, according to your state in life, that all of us must face every day. Do not complain. Do not be impatient. But as my son patiently suffered the pains of Calvary, the pains of his passion, the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the nails going through His hands and feet, the humiliations, the mockery and the ridicule that He faced during His passion and death. And as St. Louis de Montfort even says, while He hung on that cross, there were some who approached Him and threw human filth at Him in front of her. I believe Our Lady would say to us, do not be impatient. Do not complain. But suffer silently, calmly endure, and patiently embrace your suffering as My Son suffered for you. Do this for Him. Let us, my dear friends, who believe in Jesus crucified, and who believe in the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, let us then strive to patiently embrace our sufferings, our difficulties, our sicknesses, our pains, our bodily aches. Let us strive to do this for Him and for her, as a consolation and a comfort to her. And as we do this, we can have the utmost confidence that one day, when we stand before Him, He will reward us for all the acts of love that we did for Him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.